I want you to start with a mental image. You're in Munich. It's quiet, diligent, industrial.
Right.
And while, you know, the rest of the tech world is setting its hair on fire over the latest AI chatbot, a startup called Robco just quietly raised $100 million.
And they did it by rewriting the rules of the physical world,
yeah.
not the digital one.
That's the thing that caught my eye. We get so distracted by AI making images and text that we forget things still need to be, you know, made.
Exactly.
So the sources for this deep dive are all about this German startup, Robco. And our mission really is to figure out how a bunch of modular metal parts are supposedly democratizing technology.
But I'll admit, I was skeptical at first. I mean, we've been hearing about the robot revolution for, what, 40 years?
At least.
What makes this different?
It comes down to a bottleneck. A bottleneck most people don't even see. You see the car commercials, right? Sparks flying, these giant orange arms welding a chassis. And we think,
okay, automation is solved. Exactly. If you're Toyota or Ford, it is solved. You have the capital.
But for everyone else.
For everyone else. Well, the problem isn't the robot itself. It's not the hardware. It's the brain. Or, more specifically, the cost of the brain.
Let's unpack that, because that's where the disconnect is. If I run, say, a small carpentry shop, why can't I just go buy a robot arm?
You can buy the arm. The metal is available. But here's the trap. Traditionally, if you buy a robotic arm from one of the big guys, a KUKA or an ABB, it's a paperweight.
Until you tell it what to do.
And to tell it what to do, you need code. Really complex, specialized code, which means you have to hire a robotics engineer.
And that's not cheap.
A good one might cost you more per year than the robot itself. So if you're that carpentry shop, the math just destroys you.
So the automation revolution has been stuck behind a VIP rope this whole time.
Until now. And this is where Robco's pitch gets so interesting. They claim they can turn any factory into a fully automated unit in just a few days.
Without the expensive engineer.
Without the engineer. And they're doing it by making the robots simpler. Not more complex.
The sources kept bringing up this Lego analogy, and I usually hate that cliche, but here it seems literal.
It is literal. This is the whole idea of modular robotics. See, in the traditional model, you buy a fixed asset, a robot arm designed to do one thing, let's say weld a car door.
Okay.
But what happens next year when the market shifts and you're not making sedans, you're making electric scooters?
That big, expensive robot arm is now?
It's useless. It's scrap metal. It's too big or too small. The joints don't bend the right way. That's a massive financial risk. It freezes you.
So how does the Lego approach fix that?
With Robco, you're not buying a robot. You're buying a kit of modules.
Like individual joints and motors.
Exactly. So today, you might need a simple two-joint arm to just pick a box up and put it on a pallet. You snap two modules together. Done.
Simple enough.
But 6 months later, you get a new contract. Something complicated. You need millimeter precision, 360-degree rotation. In the old world, you'd have to buy a whole new machine.
But here, you just...
You just buy three more modules, you clip them onto the existing body, and suddenly you have a completely different machine.
Okay, that sounds great, but I'm imagining the technical nightmare. If I add a new joint to a robot arm, how does the brain even know it's there?
Ah, that is the secret sauce. It's called distributed intelligence.
Distributed how?
In a normal robot, you have one big central brain, a controller, and the arm is just dumb metal.
Right.
In Robco's system, every single joint, every module, it has its own little processor and sensors inside.
So the elbow is sort of self-aware.
In a sense, yes. It knows what it is. Yeah. When you snap it in, it talks to the other parts. It says, hey, I'm a rotational joint. I have this much torque and I'm in position three. The whole system just self-calibrates. Instantly.
That's the difference between a science project and a consumer product. It's like plugging in a USB mouse. It just works.
Exactly. And that brings us to the second half of this, which I think is actually more disruptive than the hardware. We've solved the fixed asset problem with the Lego bricks, but we still have the expensive engineer problem.
Right. Someone still has to tell it what to do.
So Roman Holtzel, Robco's founder, he decided the barrier wasn't money. It was code. So they just...
Yeah.
They kill the code. The interface looks more like a mobile game.
The sources called it teaching mode. Can you walk us through that? Because this seems to change everything on the factory floor.
It completely does. Imagine you're a factory worker. You've been stacking boxes for 20 years. You don't know Python.
Not at all.
With Robco, you walk up to the robot, you physically grab the arm with your hands, and you just move it.
You just drag it where you want it to go.
You drag it. You guide it to the first spot where the box is. You press a button on a tablet, save point,
yep.
And then you guide it to the pallet, save point.
You're literally holding its hand and showing it the ropes.
Precisely. And while you're doing that simple motion, the software's doing all the hard math in the background. The calculus, the physics, the safety limits. It hides the complexity.
And that's a huge psychological shift, isn't it? The narrative is always, the robot is coming for my job. The robot is the enemy.
Right.
But in this case, it's just a tool. It's like a power drill. You're not afraid of a drill. You use it to do your job better. It empowers the worker.
That's the key insight. It shifts the value of the human. Your value is no longer, I can lift 50 pounds.
Because a machine will always be better at that.
Always. But if your value is, I understand this process, and I can teach this fleet of robots to do it, well, you're not a manual laborer anymore. You're a tech manager, a fleet manager.
Okay, Dahl's advocate. Does this actually save jobs? Or does it just mean one person can now do the work of 10 and 9 people are out of a job?
That's the fear, right. But you have to look at the context, especially in Germany where this all started. They don't have a surplus of workers. They have a massive labor shortage.
Young people don't want to work in factories.
Would you?
Yeah.
10 hours a day, same motion, 5,000 times.
Yeah.
It's grueling. Huh. Younger generations are saying, no, thank you.
So these factories are at risk of closing, not for lack of orders, but for lack of people.
Exactly. So Robco's pitch isn't fire your staff. It's save your factory. And on a macro level, this drives a huge trend called reshoring.
Bringing manufacturing back home, we hear that term a lot.
Right. For 40 years, the logic was, labor is expensive here, so let's ship everything 5,000 miles to where labor is cheap, make it, and ship it back.
But if automation like this gets cheap and easy,
the cost of labor stops being the deciding factor. A robot costs the same in Munich as it does in Vietnam.
So why bother with the shipping?
Why bother? You build the factory next to your customers, it cuts shipping costs, it's better for the environment, and it makes your supply chain way more resilient.
We all learned about that the hard way during the pandemic.
For sure. This tech makes made in the USA or made in Germany economically viable again.
I have to bring up the comparison everyone's thinking of. The elephant in the room, Tesla's Optimus.
The humanoid, yeah.
The sexy robot, it looks like a person, it waves. Robco's robots are, let's be honest, they're kind of ugly. They're just tubes and joints.
That is exactly why they might win.
Explain that. Because yep. Silicon Valley is obsessed with that general purpose humanoid dream.
Tesla is trying to solve the hardest problem in robotics, navigating a chaotic human world. Scares, doorknobs, folding laundry. That's a sci-fi goal.
Mm-hmm.
We're years away from that being reliable enough for a factory.
And factories hate unreliable.
Factories want unpredictability. You don't need legs on a flat factory floor. You need an arm that can weld apart 24/7 without stopping and without costing a fortune.
So it's pragmatism versus the concept car.
It's the pickup truck versus the concept car. The pickup truck actually does the work. Investors like 10BASE-T are backing Robco because they see profits today. These bots are already out there packing medicine, welding parts. It's not a promise. It's utility.
Let's get under the hood for a minute on the specs. They talk about using aerospace-grade aluminum alloy. Why does that matter?
It's all about the strength-to-weight ratio. Think about it. If an arm is heavy, it has to use a ton of energy just to lift itself.
Before it even picks anything up.
Right. It's fighting its own gravity.
Yeah.
By using this lighter alloy, it uses less electricity and there's less wear on the motors. The whole thing just lasts longer.
And what about this EtherCAT protocol? They said latency is under 1 millisecond. I mean, that sounds fast, but is it a noticeable difference?
Oh, it's a huge difference. Think of the robot like a dancer. If the music has even a tiny delay, the dancer is clumsy.
They'll trip.
They'll trip. In a robot, if the shoulder moves and the wrist doesn't get the signal instantly, the whole arm vibrates. It shakes.
Which kills your precision.
Totally. EtherCAT is like a perfectly synchronized nervous system. All 7 joints move as one. It's fluid.
And the sources tied this back to energy costs, too, with the AI.
Yeah, that's Rob2OS. It uses reinforcement learning. So a human might program it to go from A to B in a straight line. But the AI looks at that and says, actually, if I curve the motion slightly, I can use momentum and save 30% power.
30%.
It adds up. If you're running 50 of these things, cutting your electric bill by a third is pure profit.
Speaking of deploying these, the global expansion plan seemed like a leap. The Middle East, developing markets, why there?
It's actually a really smart move. Think about countries in the Persian Gulf. They have capital, but they don't have 100 years of industrial history.
They don't have generations of machinists.
Exactly. So if they want to build a manufacturing sector to move away from oil, they face this huge knowledge gap. Robco lets them leapfrog that.
Like how some countries skipped landlines and went straight to cell phones?
It's the perfect analogy. They jump straight to fully automated modular factories, and the maintenance part is huge there, too.
Right. If your fancy German robot breaks in a remote area,
you're in big trouble. You wait weeks for a specialist to fly in. Production stops. With the Lego model, a joint breaks. You unclip it. You clip in a spare from the shelf. You're running again in 10 minutes.
You don't need a PhD to fix it.
You just need a spare part.
Okay, so we've been very positive. Let's talk about the darker side. Safety. If you let amateurs program these powerful machines, isn't that incredibly dangerous?
It's a huge gray area. If I program an arm and it accidentally hits someone, who's responsible? Is it me, the factory owner? Is it Robco for letting me do it?
Robco's claim is that the sensors stop this from happening.
They do. The system is designed to stop immediately on contact, kind of like a saw stop on a table saw. The second it feels something that shouldn't be there, it freezes.
But no system is perfect.
No. But the counterargument is that humans aren't perfect either. Human error causes accidents. Repetitive strain destroys people's bodies over years.
So it's a trade-off. You might get a rare robot accident, but you eliminate thousands of guaranteed chronic injuries.
Statistically, the robot is almost certainly safer than a tired human doing the same task for 10 hours straight.
Looking ahead, the sources mention them moving into the service industry. Supermarkets, restaurants.
That's when it becomes visible to everyone. You'll see them at the grocery store at 2 a.m. restocking shelves.
There was a prediction in one analysis that it kind of gave me chills. It said that by 2030, the concept of the unskilled laborer will just vanish.
It's a bold call, but the trend is there. The idea is that any job that is simply move object A to location B will be done by a machine.
So what happens to those people?
They become operators. The price of admission for the job gets a little higher. You don't need muscle anymore, but you need to be able to use the tablet to guide the machine. Robco is basically pulling that 2030 future into 2026.
So to wrap this all up, Robco is really the victory of boring over cool.
It's pragmatism over imagination. It's not a sci-fi movie. It's a tool. And tools are what actually build the world.
It's democratizing the means of production, almost literally. If you have the capital for the modules, you no longer need the university degree to run them.
And that $100 million investment, it tells you the smart money knows this is the real revolution. Not the robot that can walk, but the robot that can work.
So the message to you, whether you're a business owner or a worker, is pretty clear. Technology isn't waiting. The only way forward is to adapt.
Absolutely. Don't fear the arm. Learn how to guide it.
And I want to leave you with a final thought to chew on. We've talked about how the barriers are crumbling. It's not about money anymore. It's not about coding. The only barrier left is creativity. So if you had a robot arm on your desk tomorrow that could do anything you showed it, what would you build?
That's the $1 billion question.
Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll catch you on the next one.